Chapter 18. Natty's last memory of her father was in the bathroom, his head in the toilet, and what she now knew was blood splattering the tiles. The memory would stay with her until she died. Eventually, Mother revealed that Daddy's blood type was hard to get in the days when he was dying. He'd slowly bled to death. Natty felt forever changed by her father's death. She'd heard about her friends' relationships with their fathers. She'd never developed the anger or ambivalence many of them had toward their parents. She'd been away from her father so much and had had him for such a short time. Anger toward her mother had mellowed into ambivalence, while she could rely on her father to meet her needs for attention and affection. In the puzzle that would ultimately be her life, a large, unreplaceable piece would be missing. Coming home from the burial, she took the plaque down from the shelf and carried it to her mother. "What happened?" she asked Mother. "It's time I knew what happened. Why did he manage stores? Why didn't he work in an office? I need to know," she begged. Rose looked at her youngest daughter like she hadn't really seen her in a long time. She noted that Natty looked good in black. It was her color. "I've looked at this plaque my whole life. It says Daddy was an attorney. Why did he work in stores? I need to know."
"You need to know?" Mother responded, barely through the door of their apartment, carrying her purse and hat, eager to rush to Abby to see how she fared. Seal had stayed with Abby since none of Rose's family had come from Cleveland. Only his sister Ellen and her family had attended.
"Natty, I know you're upset, but we just got home. I must see to Abby. Then we need to go sit Shiva at Laura's. There's plenty of time for all that. It will just upset you more." They would sit Shiva for 7 days at Laura's house on Ocean Parkway. Rose was still embarrassed to have guests in their home. Appearances still mattered. Laura's house was decorated in the gaudiest fashion to show off the wealth she'd acquired since the end of the war. More women were working. She'd hired women to watch their children and ran a summer day camp. Abby emerged from the bedroom she shared with Natty, Seal behind her.
"I want to know, too," said Abby, having overheard the conversation. "I didn't much care before when you tried to tell me, but now I want to know."
Rose sighed with exasperation, then nodded her thanks to Seal, who quietly took her cue to leave. The girls waved limply. Rose dumped her hat and pocketbook on the table and sat in the chair. She leaned back and closed her eyes. How could both her daughters inflict this on her now of all days when she was sapped of strength and needed all her energy to get through the next few hours and days? The girls sat at each end of the sofa. Natty removed her hat. Abby folded her legs underneath her. It was a hot day, despite it being the end of September. All three could feel the sweat trickling down their backs. No one had turned on the fan. "Okay," Rose said, sitting up straight in the chair, opening her eyes and folding her gloved hands in her lap. "Okay," she said again. "As I explained to you, Abby, while we were on the road, Daddy was the attorney for a bad man in 1930. The year you were born. He won the case, but found out later the judge had been bribed, and jurors were threatened to vote for the man's innocence." Rose slowly removed each lacy glove as she spoke, more to the ceiling than to the girls. This was difficult for her now that Harry was newly buried. She felt sorry about their bad marriage, her frequent abandonments of him, and her failure to keep him well. Telling the story felt like a final betrayal.
"Girls, this is just too hard for me today. Can we talk about this some other time, please?"
"No," said Natty. "You'll be too busy and we'll never hear what happened. Please finish the story."
Your father went to the police, continued Rose against her better judgment. She used an objective tone, like when she told patients they had to change their ways or become seriously ill. She could be compassionate but firm. He went to the police. They told him not to worry about it and to mind his own business. Your father was a stickler for justice. He could never let anything slide, even if things could turn out badly. Rose got up and went to the kitchen to get herself a glass of water. She was finding this even more difficult than she'd imagined. The more she talked, the less sorry she felt sharing Harry's secrets, and the angrier and more resentful she became. Why was he such a stickler for justice in those days? No one else was. He could have just ignored the whole thing and had a successful career. The 1930s were hard years for Jewish attorneys, but this case could have launched him into a lucrative business. He might have lived comfortably, if not as well off as Laura. She took a few moments to collect herself at the sink, then returned to the chair, crossed her still shapely legs, and resumed the story. He didn't just go once to the police. He went a second time. He made the detective there angry. A few weeks after that, Daddy received a letter in the mail. It was marked confidential, but I opened it anyway. When you marry, girls, don't let your husbands keep any secrets from you. It's a wife's right to know what's going on. The letter said, stop. That's all it said. It was unsigned with no return address. The stamp was postmarked from New Jersey. Why did they send the letter to Daddy? Asked Abby. Who wanted him to stop? And what was he supposed to stop? Rose stood up again, cleared her throat, and sat down again. This time on the edge of the chair, as if ready to make a quick getaway. It was from the friends of the bad man Daddy had defended in court. Daddy seemed to know right away what the letter meant when I showed it to him that evening. He wouldn't explain until I nagged it out of him. He said he was afraid of frightening me. Rose was now twisting her gloves in her hands. He said this was a threat. They didn't want him asking any more questions about the juror who was killed or the judge who was bribed. He told me the paper that morning had an article about Ryan Murphy. When I asked him, wasn't that the prosecuting attorney in the case? He said, yes, it was. The article in the paper was about Mr. Murphy's accidental fall from the balcony of his home while his wife and children watched. Did Daddy think someone caused this fall? Asked Natty, confused. Daddy was sure someone killed Mr. Murphy, answered Rose. But why? Asked Abby warily. Because he'd gone to the district attorney to report what he knew about the jurors and the judge. What? I don't understand, said Natty, getting up to pace the carpet. The bad guys killed Mr. Murphy. The letter to your father was to tell him to stop talking to the police, or the same thing would happen to him. They were threatening to kill your father. Rose said these last words quickly and softly, so the girls could barely hear them. Then she got up from the chair and ran into her bedroom, holding her gloves to her face to catch the avalanche of sudden tears. Her tears were not for Harry, but for her disappointing marriage and the life she might have had. Natty and Abby looked at each other in shared bewilderment and disbelief. Was it possible Daddy left the law because he was being threatened? That would explain why he took menial jobs that barely helped ends meet. Abby shook her head in a rare moment of empathy, then went to sit with her mother.